I know there is at least one or two that are here that were not here for the first meeting, for the benefit of those and all of us. Brother Paul will continue now with part two of his very insightful discourse on the prophecy of the 90 weeks of Daniel 9 and other chronological...
70 weeks.
Thank you. 77s. Thank you very much. So we will turn it over to Brother Paul and looking forward to it.
Okay, when we finished up, we were looking at the fact that the word abomination is in that Daniel 9:27 verse. And it's also mentioned two other places in Daniel. And we're not going to read those, but if you look at the 12:7 there, that talks about a times, time and a half a time. And then verse 11 of that same prophecy, it mentions the abomination of the desolation. And it also mentions the abomination in chapter 11. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 of Daniel actually are all one prophecy. But the fact that the abomination is in there with that chronology is rather interesting. And we also see it in Daniel 7, but it doesn't call it the abomination there, but it mentions the time, times, and a half a time. So we know who this is talking about, and we're not going to go into this in great detail, but this is another example of the day per year giving us an understanding of who this prophecy is actually talking about. Because if it was only 1,260 days, then we would have the same thought that a lot of the churches have, and they would think that it's something future yet that's still going to occur, where we don't agree with that. In the prophecy, one of the reasons that the churches don't see that is they don't believe that day for a year chronology anymore. Prior to pastor's time and even during pastor's time, there were a lot of churches that still believed that. But since that time, they seem like they've fallen into kind of a slumber on that point, and they're fallen back into this literal, some future Antichrist still coming yet. They have failed to recognize that he's already came. When you see this in prophecy, it could be 1,260 days, as you see here. It could be 42 months. In the Jewish calendar, they had 30-day months, which calculates out to 1,260, again, years. And the 3.5 times, which was just mentioned in the Chapter 7 prophecy, is times the 360-day year, which was part of the Jewish calendar at that time. And I don't know if it still is. It'd be interesting to find out. But 1,260 years again. And you'll see this in the Book of Revelation. Again, it's mentioned at least twice. I didn't go look exactly how many times, but at least twice there. And so, who is it? Well, the history on this, we believe this began in 539 A.D. And prior to that time, there had been a lot of disagreement in the empire and the church there about the Trinity doctrine. And many of the Arians, for example, were fighting against that Trinity doctrine. And but papacy got into favor with the Emperor Justinian at that time, and it's believed by many historians, and I think it's especially true the Adventists believe this, that he made a deal with Justinian, and Justinian gave him the right to decide the doctrines in the empire. And he said that they had to believe that Trinity doctrine no matter what. And so what happened was they didn't want to believe it, so they began to call up the army, and they began to attack the Arians, and they drove them into finally they wound up at the city of Ravenna in 539 A.D. Now, some dispute that exact date, but no one really denies that it happened right very close to that, within a year of that. We believe it was 539. And at that time, they captured them, and from that point on in the Western Empire, they had to believe the Trinity doctrine, or the emperor would send the army, and that'd be the end of you. The Eastern Empire still believed in did not believe in the Trinity doctrine for a while. I can't tell you the exact date, but it was a period of time before eventually they caved in and they also switched to the belief in the Trinity doctrine. So when that happened and they started to use the army, from that time onward, everything went from being bad to really bad, because you would either be tortured or tormented until you either gave in, or if you didn't, you could even be killed, or they take your property away, and very, very bad times. And that existed all the way up until 1799. And at that time, the Pope was taken captive by Napoleon, and that Pope died in prison. And if you look up the history on that and figure back to the point where they actually tried to, where he died, and from where they had put the new Pope into office, it was exactly 1799, exactly where the 1260 years ran out. There was three horns plucked up in one of those prophecies, which we didn't read, but 1870, those three horns were the papal states that papacy had gotten. And when they got that, he essentially had control of those countries just as if he was an actual earthly king. And that's why in Daniel chose three horns being plucked up, because it was three different countries that he took control of. But in 1870, that was taken away from him. And 1914 and 1918, all of the kings, whether there were still 10 literal kings or not, we don't know at that time, but I think symbolically that represented all of the Gentile powers who had been in league with papacy all during that time, and even those who were in league with even the Protestants, they all lost their kingships. Now, we still keep a wary eye on them, because we don't know if they're going to get back into power, because they've been, you know, ever since that time, trying both the Catholics and the Protestants would like to get that earthly control back. And just how much and what's going to happen, we don't know. Maybe nothing, but then again, who knows? So keep watching. Now we're at that decree we mentioned before, and that was from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and that's where that 70 weeks would begin to count from, and that's where the difference in opinion is at. Now, we believe that the exact date has to be mathematically correct is October of 455 B.C. The second volume has 454 B.C., which is about a quarter year later. We don't know the exact reason why the difference, but it's most likely rounded off, I think, but I don't really know the answer to that. But there's nothing wrong with the thought there. It's exactly, the thought is correct. Edgar's Pyramid Book also has October 455 B.C., and they give a historical method of calculating it, and that's found in Book 2, Section 51, page 244. So in order to get the exact count of time, we have to have that 455 date, and if you go 490 years later, you get 35.75, which is actually October of the year 36. And we believe that's the count of time to the end of the Jewish favor. So the question is, what happens if we start counting in 458 B.C., as some try to say, and not 455? Well, then you have some problems. The sealing of the covenant would be done at the baptism and would not be accomplished on the cross. Now, if the covenant was sealed at the baptism, what was the price that sealed it at that time? There wasn't any. It wasn't given until the cross. And the stopping of the sacrifice and grain offering would also have to cease at the baptism of our Lord and not at the cross. And the Lord paying of the blood price for our sins on the cross, if that didn't stop the sacrificing and the grain offering, what else did? There was nothing else that was offered at the baptism. Some try to say, well, he offered his life and that was enough, but I don't agree with that. I think it had to be what was offered on the cross. Our Lord would have to become the anointed 3.5 years before his baptism, because the prophecy called him anointed at the end of the 69 weeks. We believe that he was not anointed until the Holy Spirit came down on him and anointed him at the River Jordan, as we mentioned earlier. And the 3.5 years of exclusive favor to the nation of Israel would not exist. And also on this end of the age, we wouldn't have that overlap from 1878 to 1881, where the final favor to the nominal churches would have expired on the 1881 date. And also, we would not have been cut off in the midst of the week. Now, some make an argument against that, and if we're honest, we actually have to say they're correct. It doesn't directly say that he was cut off in the midst of the week. But you notice I highlighted and underlined the word directly. I'm going to make a point that it still applies, we believe. The scriptures say that he would stop the sacrificing the obligation in the midst of the week, and we know that that was done on the cross by Christ, as we explained earlier. Because of that, we can understand that he was cut off in the midst of the week, and that's because he was cut off or had satisfied the terms of the covenant at the same time that he ended the accepting of Israel's sacrifice and obligation. So even though it don't directly say that, it's a very good understanding that he was cut off in the midst of the week. Now, the first time period that the angel named was that 49-year period, and there's some interesting things about that that we're going to discuss as we go on a little later on. And the city and the walls were rebuilt during that period of time, during what it describes as troublesome times. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, it actually tells you about how difficult a time they had in rebuilding them walls and the gates. They actually had to pretty much stand guard while they were rebuilding because their enemies tried to stop them. And then we go from 62 weeks more to the baptism of Christ at the River Jordan, and that was when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and so that's why we believe that that's the point he was anointed. And then the last time period that the angel mentions is the 70th week, and that's 7 years, which ends at Israel's exclusive favor. And he's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week. And the sacrifices and offerings ended in the midst of the week. And so right where we see that cross up here is where that midst of the week was at. And that's 33 A.D. Now, can everyone see that small text on the screen okay? Good, because I wasn't sure. On some of these slides, I had to go down to that smaller size in order to get that on the screen. So that's good. Now, how sure are we of our 33 A.D. date for the crucifixion, and do the historians and Bible scholars agree with the April 33 date? Well, in Pastor Russell's time, it was not as agreed as it is now, because it was thought that Herod the Great died in 4 B.C., and my son Jeff pointed out to me that an archaeological or Bible review magazine that they just had a comment in the commentary section there about that, and one fellow was arguing for that 4 B.C. yet, and this other fellow went through after his comments and made the argument as to why that 4 B.C. can't be correct. He says that the only dates that really match is in that 1 B.C. That then makes it possible that 33 A.D. is correct. Otherwise, that's why many of them think that the crucifixion had to be like in 30 A.D. or 29 A.D., because they have the wrong dating for this Herod's death. But if you fix that, there's no problem, as you'll see. Now, Sir Isaac Newton had the most comprehensive explanation on how to derive that dating, and he said it was either 32 or 33 A.D. He preferred the 32, but he said 33 A.D. could also be correct. So that's what we believe is 33 A.D., and those of you who saw the Wheels Within Wheels diagram the last time know that that's what I think is correct. And that's that diagram. What this is 7,000 years, for those of you who might not have been here, goes from one end to the other. Mankind fell here. Mankind will be restored here 7,000 years later. There's seven dates on this chart. There's the fall of Adam, the start of the flood, the death of Jacob, and then the midst of the years. And that was that same date as the same date that's on all three patterns that I showed that time. And so this is, if you folded this chart right on this line, that this half of the chart would be the same as this half. And if you look through it, you would see the lines lay exactly one on top of the other. But the interesting thing about this is that it intersects 32.25 AD, which is 33 AD for the crucifixion. So to me, that confirms that that's the date. Then we have our 1878 date on this end of the age, 1845 years later, and the 2874, where the, and by the way, these are all dates for testings. And the final test and restoration is complete in 2874 after mankind has been restored. Can we prove that 455 BC is the correct date to start counting the 70 weeks? Well, we believe that we can. There were four different dates given in regard to decrees for Israel. We had the decree of Cyrus, which we already know about. The very few try to start the 490 years at that point. The decree of Cyrus was reissued about 19 or 20 years later by Darius I because their enemies had stopped them from rebuilding the temple, and at that point they started to rebuild the temple again. It was completed within about a four-year time period there. Now, skipping over the one in red, the letter of King Xerxes in 445 BC, some try to use that, but it's actually too late, and they go through quite a few gyrations trying to use only the 360 days and not count any of the extra part of the year, and they still come up with the wrong year, so that date never really appealed to me at all. Now, the date that the historians give now is the date of King Xerxes, where he issued a decree to Nehemiah saying that, telling him to go and to rebuild a city, and they believe it's in 458 B.C. Now, one big plus for this date, it's an actual decree in order to rebuild a city. The problem with it is, if we start counting on that date, we don't come out in the right place. We're about 3 years off. So, can we resolve that problem? Well, we think we can. Now, if we accept Edgar's historical work in the Pyramid Book, then we do get the correct date for the 77s to start, and that date is 455 B.C. Now, I'm not a historical scholar, so I won't bore you with trying to prove it historically. I'll leave that up to others. So I admit that, you know, if I had to prove that historically, I couldn't necessarily do it one way or another. We believe we're going to settle this question mathematically, though. That I do know something about. And so we're going to even admit that if they prove that 458 B.C. is correct, the way I'm going to explain this, at least I'm hoping they can see it that way, it's not going to make any difference. We would start counting in 455 B.C. anyway. And once we get to that, you'll see the reason why. So one point in time we thought, well, just might be interesting just to mark off the Jubilees and the Sabbath cycles to see what would happen as if nothing had happened to Israel. You know, what? Where would we wind up as we're counting down the line? And something interesting occurred. But before we do that, we're going to review the second volume on the Jubilees. Up on the screen here, this is the date that Israel actually finished conquering the land on the east side. And that's where the Jubilees would start counting for the second volume calculation. And it was thought that there would be supposed to be 70 Jubilees, but at that point in time where they were carried away to Babylon, they had only kept 19. And so there were 51 Jubilees left at that point in time that had not been fulfilled. So to show that here, 19 times 50 was 950 years later. And that midst of the years that you saw on the other diagram of the wheels within wheels, that's that same point right there. And the Jubilee calculations actually start 1 year past that. And you might say, well, how come they didn't start on the center point? Well, actually they do. And we'll see that a little later more clearly. But the Jubilee here actually started here, and it ended in this year that was a year over. In the second volume, we started counting here, and that's the date you want to remember because that's the date we're going to use in our other calculations. But in the second volume, it was 51 cycles of 49 years. It actually took you to exactly 1874. And I kind of puzzled over this for quite some time, but you're going to see another reason besides the Jubilee for that calculation a little bit later today. It actually turns out to be interesting. But also, 50 times 50 brought you to 1874 with 1 year left over. And that 1 year, anatypically, represents the 1,000 years. And on one of the other diagrams, we'll show that a little more clearly, because there's actually another 2,500 that actually goes to 1874. It marks off that 1 year there, just like it does on here. And here on the bottom is where you see the 55 times 50 equals 2,500 years starts on this line. And then it goes to 1874, and that remainder is 1,000. But it's also missed of the years, and 50 times 70 is 3,500 years. You'll see the same thing on this side. So mankind fell here to the center point. Everything is downhill. But now God's plan begins to bring it back, and by 2874, everything will be restored. Now, the last time we were here, this is a reprint article. It was sent to Pastor Russell, but it wasn't printed until after his death. It's reprint 6435-36, page 36. And on this, there were some interesting things. It was 280 cubits from this gatepost all the way around to this gatepost. But if we took the prophetic 25-inch cubit and multiply it times that, then it turns out to be 7,000 inches all the way around. Now, those are pyramid inches, which is slightly different, but very close to a British inch, actually. Excuse me. And so that showed 7 dates around this chart. The only thing that was different than the reprint article is that when we figured out the period of Judges, we came up with a different conclusion on this corner. It was actually Jephthah and his daughter was the type of Christ in the church. And I believe they had Jer, but we calculated the Jubilees slightly, or not the Jubilees, the period of Judges slightly different, and it fell exactly on that date. And this is actually a better type of Christ on the other corner. But as we mentioned the other time, it was a little bit puzzling when we first looked at this, because you have 5 cubits between here, and there was actually 25 between here. 25 times 25 is 625. And we thought, well, what is that? So then we decided to put it into circles. And those of you who've seen this the last time, there's actually 7 dates on this chart, too. We're not going to go through those, excepting that the fall of mankind, the center point, and, of course, you have the 1874 date here, but then the 2874, when all mankind is restored, times the restoration of all things. This shows that that's exactly going to be proven, happen. These are the second volume calculations on this line, and this actually is Edgar's. If you look at the old Bible student manual, they actually have this 3,500 and 3,500. I split this so you can see that from the center point to 1874 is 2,500, and at that point, of course, you have that 1 year up here. But then 1,000 years is another 20 jubilees, or 50 to 2874. Now that we've got that date, that's this date here, 1 year after that, that's the date we would start counting. Well, something interesting happens. 1 jubilee, 2 jubilees, 3rd jubilee, 1 Sabbath year, another Sabbath year, a 3rd Sabbath year, 455 BC, right on the dot. So, the interesting thing about this, and I don't know whether this is intended, but I suspect it is. You have 3 sets of 7 years here, which is Jehovah's number, 3, and 7 sets of 7 years, which is Christ or spiritual perfection, right after that mark, right here. Together you have 10 sets of 7, which equals perfect earthly and civil power, Christ plus Jehovah, because you have both the 3 and the 7 together. And so that shows that the events that are going to start here are going to result in the full blessing of the kingdom in the end through the ruling and reign and the power of Christ in Jehovah. Now, those who want to start the Jubilee earlier, and I kind of wished I would have left it on there, there was another date, that the 458 right before here, and it would actually fall 3 years earlier, which is right almost in the center point of this period of seven here. But an interesting thought about this would be, and I think it's valid, if I was a Jew and looking at the Sabbath cycles, and the angel comes and tells me that, you know, there's a punishment for these Sabbath cycles that it didn't get counted, and that there's going to be 70 sets of seven, why would I start counting in the middle of a seven-year period? Why wouldn't I wait and start counting right here? So that's why I said, even if somebody proved that the 458 date was correct, I would still start there, and I believe that was the intention. But those who would disagree will say, well, you got seven chances to hit that. You just got lucky, one chance out of seven. So not too good at the gambling, but I can prove mathematically that it wasn't an accident. Okay, and that slide I already talked about. Somebody asked me about this, if there was another 70-year, seven sets of 70 years. Well, there is actually a reprint article, reprint 3578. That's the page that this is found on, and I believe this was the Edgars that wrote this, but I guess I'm not positive on that. I think it's true. And in this article, one of the things that they had in there was a period of 7 times 70. They had other dates prior to that, but to keep the complication from going too complex, I just took the 7 times 70 because that was the part that we needed. And so the reformer Huss, and I believe he was the one that started to really bring the scriptures back to the people. The scriptures had been suppressed by that evil church-state system that existed from that 539 to the 1799. So at the point in time, this was still going on. You know, if you tried to resist that system, you either got burned at the stake or whatever. And it was not good in most cases. Now, I don't know why, but they didn't notice it in that particular article. And perhaps because they probably did, they had the 454 date and it didn't mean anything, but if you correct it to the actual 455 date, guess what happens? It's actually 1845 years from this one to that one. So that comes to the 1881 up here on this end of the age. So you have the 7 year period from 1874, 1878, and 1881. Which is parallel to 29, 33, and 36 AD. Now, again, you could still make the argument, well, yeah, but maybe they contrived this. You know, they could say we know it's 1845, you know, from here to here. So, yeah, it's obvious it should have been here. So we're going to expand this out a little bit and start bringing in some more. Now, the last time I was here, I mentioned that from the flood to 29 AD when Christ was being immersed at the River Jordan was 50 times 50 jubilees, 2,500 years. And from the center point, we already knew that 50 times 50 or 2,500 goes to 1874. And I don't know if that shows up big enough back there because I had to go to a smaller text, but that is 1874, 1878, and 1881. And a little bit of a story on this. I was working on this one night, and I drew up this diagram, and it was getting a little late, and I was getting tired, so I went to bed, and I don't know why, but I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and the question was on my mind, how far is it from this one to that one? I thought, boy, I wonder, I gotta get up and go see, so I got dressed, went down, got my computer booted up, and got the calculator out, 1845 years. Amazing. Accidental, of course. So now we're starting to lock this system in where we can't move it as much, or even, I don't think we can move it at all. But just to make it even a little more complicated, we're going to add to it. Now on this diagram, this is the date that Adam fell in the garden. And the interesting thing that we noticed here was if we started here at fall and we went 51 jubilees, and notice the 51 and the 19, that's the same numbers that we have here and here, but in reverse. So you have 2,550 years, And this date right here is the date that they, in Deuteronomy 2:24, was the 39th year of the 40 years that they had wandered in the wilderness. And they first crossed the river Arnon, and they went on the east side of the Jordan. They began to conquer. this is the year that they actually began to conquer. It's not the year that they began counting the Jubilee, though, because they hadn't conquered it. And there was something interesting there, and that is in Leviticus 25:2, when first coming into the land, it shall have a Sabbath year. And that's not saying count seven Sabbath years. It's saying let's have a day of, a year of rest. So the year of rest actually is right here. And by the end of this, they had actually conquered that land on the east side. So at that point in time, here's the second volume of calculations right here in yellow going all the way across. So that's all tied together. You have your one-year overlap, your one-year overlap, and there's, of course, a one-year overlap down in this end of the age with the 2500, which you don't have on here. And so now you have the Jubilees and the 1845s tied together in our chronology. I can't show it because it's way too complex, but there's another version of this chart that has the 2520 years added into it also. So you have the 2520, the 1845s, and the 2500s all locked into a system which is tied into the 490 years, you know, which I don't have on here right now, but it actually is locking that in there. And so I don't see how you can move it. It has to be 455 BC. Now this is going to be the argument that those who want to say it's a 49-year Jubilee make. As you already saw, though, God didn't change his mind in 455 BC and begin to use a 49-year Jubilee instead. So if there is 49-year periods after that, they have to be for something else. And that's what we're going to show, what we think they are. What they say, and actually it turns out it's correct, 70 times 7 equals 490. Well, going all the way back to our high school, we factor our factoring. 70 can be factored into 7 and 10 times 7. And if we rearrange things, we can actually have the 10 by itself. And the 7 times 7s makes 49. And so that's the argument they use. They say, see, here's the first 49. Must be a Jubilee cycle. And that there's a total of 10 of those all the way down to the end of the Jewish favor. Well, there's a different reason for that, we believe. The next section we think is very important because of events that we actually see going on right now. Even the United States is somewhat turning against Israel, trying to force them into giving up land and to give them up the city of Jerusalem. And we showed earlier that God had Jerusalem marked off exactly when he wanted it restored. So if God restored Jerusalem back to the Jews, why would he want them to give it up? And I don't think he does. So we're going to go into something that I don't believe anyone else has seen before, but something that we stumbled across. One of the brethren asked me a question about that 49-year period, and so I started looking at it, and I don't know exactly how I come up with this, but you'll find this interesting. We need to look at the two time periods together, though, to see something interesting. We have the 10 times 49, and it actually is showing us the end of Israel's favor. Now, this is the times of restoration of all things, and you notice I put the underline up here. Not only was there a restoration that begins for the church, but we believe events began to happen here for Israel also. And so that's could be very well related to why we see 49s in one of those calculations. Even though we have the 50-50 there, we also have 51 times 49. And we think we can prove that there is a direct relationship to that as we go ahead here. So if we begin looking at the 1874 date, there was a restoration of Bible truth, the gathering of both the church and Israel starting in 1874 to 1878 AD. Israel's time of punishment wasn't exactly over until 1878, so things didn't start so much with them until then, but interestingly, they did start exactly at that time. That though is, some have complained about the 1874 date, and they've said, well, times of the Restoration, we don't see nothing happen, but we're going to prove that they did start to happen there, not only with the truth, but also with Israel. For Israel, for example, 1878, they were able to own land there. 1879, we had the American Jewish Congress. 1896, Hertz's book, The Jewish State, was published. In 1897, the first Zionist Congress. So you can see what's happening. Things are starting to roll here, point by point by point. 1914 war led to the Balfour Declaration in 1917, and the 1914 date was very important because that began the end of the Gentile times, the end of the 2,520 years or the seven times of punishment. 1948, Israel was declared a nation. In 1967, Jerusalem was restored. So now we're waiting for Israel to be completely back in God's favor. That, of course, won't happen until the church is complete. And at that point in time, when that date arrives, whatever that is, the new covenant will be established with them, and it will restore them and the world back to full life rights by the end of that 2874 date. So the question came up, what would happen if we calculated how many Jubilees could have been kept up to the 455 B.C. date, similar to the second volume calculation? So in other words, we're going to do the same thing as did in the second volume. We're going to do it for this date instead. Well, there would have been two more that could have been kept. And one of them they could not have been because they were in the country of Babylon at the time, and there's no way you can return every man back to his land if you don't have the land. So that Jubilee couldn't have been kept at all. Now, whether they kept the other two, same as Pastor, we don't know whether they actually kept it or not, but the point is they could have kept it. So if we, So there would have been, instead of 51 like there was in the second volume calculation, there was actually 49 Jubilees left. 49 times 49 is 2,401 years. So the question becomes, what happens if we add that to 454 B.C.? That's October 455, excuse me. 455, we add 2,401 years to it. We get 1946.75, or October of 1947. And so when I seen that, I thought, wow, awful close, but boy, it missed by 3 or 6 months or so. I said, well, maybe that's the Lord intended it just to be close. And then I used Google and checked to see what was actually going on at that time. Well, it didn't miss. On November 29th, 1947, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution calling for Palestine to be partitioned between the Arabs and the Jews, allowing for the formation of the Jewish State of Israel, exactly on that date. So that there was something amazing. And it was only within about a month, but that's, if you take a look at when they probably started that resolution through the United Nations, which I haven't looked that up, but we'll probably find out that it was right at that time. So is there anything else that we should be looking at in regard to the 49-year cycles that point to the restoration of Israel? Well, what about the restoration of the walls and gates of the city, especially since that was what the 70-week prophecy was all about? So that was a more difficult question because the Bible don't directly tell us that date. It does give us the month that it was finished, and it gives us the year that Nehemiah went back to the king. From that, we can make a reasonable guess or calculation, and we'll explain our reasoning on the next slide. Nehemiah was given a commission in the 20th year, and he went to Jerusalem and began to restore the walls and the gates. After having accomplished that, he returned to the king in the 32nd year after he had finished that. Now, the months that the walls and gates were completed was Elul, which is August, September. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, but the fact that it's August or September would tell me that if I was going to go traveling back in that time, winter is coming on quite a ways back to the Persian Empire, the head of the Persian Empire, so I'd probably wait till the spring. So I figure out what year he went back in the 32nd year. That was 434 B.C. The fall of the previous year is 434.25 or 435 B.C. Now, since there were no more possible jubilees kept during the 20th year from 455 to 435 B.C., we'd still use that same 49 times 49 calculation, or 2,401 years. So let's see what happens when we add that to September 435 B.C. So if we add that to the 435 date, 2,401 years, 1966.75, or September, October of 1967. Another accident, of course. So, again, this only works, though, if you take the 455 date as gospel, that that's the date to start. Because if you don't do that, you shift everything on it, and it doesn't work then. So the restoration of the city back in Nehemiah's time is linked to the restoration of Jerusalem on this end of the age, and it's all linked by 49-year cycles. So that kind of tells us one of the reasons for the second volume calculation was not just to point to the times of restoration for, you know, the beginning of the truth for the church, but it also was pointing to a restoration for Israel. So are there any more 49-year calculations that show Israel's restoration? So when you find something that works, you kind of got a question. Should I try something more? Well, this one was, I tried 722 B.C., which is the date that the 10 tribes were carried away. And there was 17 jubilees that had been kept at that time. And so that left 53 jubilees. So now we have 53 times 49. 2,597. We added that to 722 B.C. and we got 1876. And, of course, that's awful close. You know, is there something we're not seeing quite right? So I start looking through all the history, and I couldn't find a problem with that, but I did find out that there was a three-year siege. But it was only three partial years, according to Barnes' notes. And so he says that them three partial years added up to 2 years. And so if we do that, then we would start at 724 B.C., add that same number of 2,597 to that, and guess what year we get? 1874, October 1874. And so we think the reason for the separate calculation is that 10 tribes also are to be restored on this end of the age. They were carried away first, and the two tribes are carried away later. And if we go from that siege, that, and it comes to 1874, that shows that not only the two tribe part of the kingdom would start coming back at that time, after that time, but also the 10 tribes. Anyone that can come back to Israel now and be able to prove their Jewish heritage is accepted back into Israel as an Israelite. And some of them, even from Africa, have come and claimed that heritage, and they've took them in. So long as they can prove that they are Jewish, or that I think they, excuse me, I think they have to have a Jewish mother, and so then they can claim that Jewish heritage. So this is what we just saw. This was the 10 tribes. This was the second volume calculation. Both of those were 1874. This 49-year calculation, we don't believe, has anything to do with Jubilee cycles, as claimed, but it's actually the showing the removal of the favor to Israel at that point, and this is showing that it would begin to come back after that point. And then we have the September 1947 date, which was the division of Palestine into the Arabs and the Israelis, and that was the start of the war also. And the reason why we have 1948 is they didn't declare that Israel as a nation until 1948, but that actually was partitioned on that date. And then the 1967 date, even the world recognizes that date. So we have one little bit of a confession here, and we're not going to go into it. But we can get the date 1914, and I know some brethren know that I think there's two tweaks in our chronology that don't affect anything on this end of the age. And if I make those tweaks, the dates shift just enough that if I do the same calculation, I can get 1914. So we're not going to mention that today because I'd probably need at least another hour to explain all of the ramifications. But basically, it's a 19-year change. So if you take 19 years out in one place, put 19 years back in another place, the answer is zero. That's why everything, the 2,500-year jubilees, the 1,845-year parallels, and 2,520 in the 1260s all stay in the same place. But it does fix some biblical problems that's not obvious. Not all brethren agree with me. It's probably another reason I won't bring that out today. But I want to be honest and say there is a couple tweaks that fix that and make not only that possible, but if I do that, I can now get triple parallels, not double parallels, but triple parallels like the volumes have. And from the time of Babylon to the time of Christ to Pastor Russell in the second advent. One of the triple parallels is 1845 and 2500, and the other one is 1845 and 2520. And it marks off up to 1918, showing us that our harvest parallels are exactly right, that what we thought was going on at that time is exactly correct, that there was a harvest. Pastor Russell was that messenger, and it proves all of that. But you'll have to ask me what the tweaks are. Personally, I won't go into that today for several reasons, but time is one big one. Now, to leave that behind, I have about three or four more slides, and I don't know how we're doing on time, but...
Four or five.
Okay, we're doing good then. So, this is another interesting thing. We're all familiar with the 7 times 360, which goes from 607 to 1914. And, again, the second volume has 1 year different. I don't know if this has something to do with crossing that BCAD point or if they use rounded off numbers. I'm not quite clear on the reason, but mathematically it has to be 607, and that turns out to be the date that it is correct. If you go from there, you come out to October 1914. I'm not sure. There's four different of these times where God says, I will punish them seven times back there in the Leviticus account. I kind of picked this one because it's a little bit shorter here, and for amount of time, I didn't want to overload the time. But I believe all four of those actually represent four different times of punishment. And not positive exactly what they all are. One of them, I think, is seven times punishment during the time of the judges. And it turns out if you add up counting the 40 years in the wilderness that there are seven times of punishment. Exactly. Which, to me, helps prove you can't change the period of judges because if you start overlapping judges, you eliminate those times of punishment where they try to make the different time periods of punishment the same. If you do that, you don't have seven of them. So that's one of them. Of course, the other one is this time where Israel lost their sovereignty, and for 2,520 years, until the times of the Gentiles expired, they weren't going to get it back. But the reason I brought this out is there's two more things that I want to bring out. And this doesn't require any tweaking. This is actually the dates. If I go to Ezekiel 40 verses 1 and 3, the date that's that 25th year of their exile is 572.25, and that's October 573. If I add 2,520 to that, which is an interesting date. Anybody ever recognize 1948? Another accident, of course. Now, the vision of 2300, which we looked at before, that's 554 B.C. or October 554 B.C. again. If I add the 2,520 to that, 1967. So again, another accident. And of course, nothing is accidental with God because God is the greatest mathematician there ever was. You know, it's amazing to see all these wonderful things of how they all tie together. And I have one last slide left. This kind of just shows the last two things. But a vision of Ezekiel's temple and the vision of the 2300. There was 19 years offset. And Jeff and I was looking at this in the New Testament one time for a different reason. And guess what? There's 19 years between 1948 and 1967. So it shows there's kind of a parallel, because these two visions show the order of, you know, the visions. Same thing. Here we have Israel restored, and here we have Jerusalem. Then I stuck the 334 on here because that also points to that 1967 date, which we mentioned earlier. Now, I don't know if we have any time for any questions or not. I was hoping to have a couple minutes, but any questions?
Where do we begin?
Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody can see this. I do recommend, though, if you can get that, the tape that they made, and then, you know, I have a bad tendency of having to go too quick to get done. But if you go through it, you know, and slow it down and look at everything up, it's amazing. It even astonishes me, to tell you the truth, how this all works. So we know God is the perfect timekeeper. So any questions? So if not, I'll...
I see a hand up.
Oh.
Do you have a thought about the 220 years between the vision in 553 and 333? Is there any significance between 20 or just...
That's another whole story. I wish I had some more time. The 220, whoops, I went the wrong way. The 220 is very close to another number, which is 118.5, and I'd like to know the answer to why there's two different sets of those numbers. The 118.5, you know, when I showed the 2300 days, that is the 120-year difference there. But there is one for the 1260, 1290, and 1335. I was talking to one of the brethren at break, and I mentioned that there is another offset, one for the church and one for Israel. And the 1260 goes to the 1918 date, 1290 goes to the 1948 date, and the 1335 goes to Oslo Accords, where the Palestinians admitted that Israel has it right, and they made this agreement, which they did not keep. So there is something to it, but I wish I knew the full answer. I'm still working on that. why there's a couple of years difference, I haven't quite come up with that answer, unless there's two different lessons, and I haven't quite figured it out yet. So very, very good question, though. Anything else?
May I get a copy of your PowerPoint diagrams?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be in touch with you.
Yep. So, any more? Okay, if not, I'll turn it over to the chairman. And anybody has any questions, you can either email me, talk to me, or like I say, try to get a copy of the... I find even for myself to sometimes go back over it and see what I missed. I'll look at the talk. You know, they always say you shouldn't watch your own talk, but sometimes it helps to do better for the next time, you know, see where you make your mistakes.